check it out. It's the Terminator. Hey, when'd you get back, huh?
Did you have to shoot anyone?
Why are you so distant? Are you not happy to see me?
So what's the deal? You gonna get a job now or what?
Why are you being so jumpy? Put all that stuff behind you, okay?
No one knows what it's like to come back from Iraq or Afghanistan unless they were there. Join other veterans at communityofveterans.org because we know where you're coming from. Brought to you by Iraq and Afghanistan Veterans of America and the Ad Council.
GlobalHRNews.com brings you news and information about companies going global and companies already there. And we provide updates on tax and legal and financial compliances, the new geopolitics and all the new regulations. So GlobalHRNews.com is the place for updates. Back with Nadine Vogel, and we're talking about, I guess diversity, aren't we, Nadine?
Capital D.
Diversity with a capital D. Now, yep. Before we jumped away for a break, we're going back and forth a little bit about the realities of people with disabilities in the workplace and whether or not they even offered an international assignment or offered other assignments because the managers, see that there's going to be some difficulties or problems. So can you address that issue?
I would love to, because I think that the first thing we have to think about relative to potential relocation for someone with a disability is that we as managers cannot make assumptions about someone's ability to do a job or do a job successfully, which includes relocation or travel, based on what we think their disability is or how it's going to manifest itself. So we may see someone who is visibly blind who uses a service animal and a cane. And our assumption may be that person may not be the ideal candidate for a relocation, perhaps where there's significant travel throughout Europe. But if you talk to that person, that individual may say, I travel alone all the time. I travel, internationally. I have a service animal for that reason, and I have absolutely no problem and do not need to be assisted in any way, shape, or form. So the challenge is that we make a lot of assumptions. Legally, you cannot make an assumption and not offer that person the position if otherwise they would meet the criteria of that job just because you think perhaps they can't do it, if that makes sense.
So does Springboard, the name of your company, does Springboard offer this training to HR departments so that they know what to say and do?
We do. Springboard offers a whole range of services that touch all of these areas. Specifically when we talk about training, one of the things that I think is really important to keep in mind is that you have two types of training in this area. You have the legal, what can we say, how can we handle a situation like this, what we can do, which is very important, and that's what we're talking about. But there's also another piece that we tend not to think about, and this goes across globally, which is why I want to bring it up, which is taking a social justice perspective to this training. For instance, if we have someone in HR, they're interviewing a candidate, and the candidate comes in, and they are using a wheelchair. Should the HR person in discussion, or at least in initial conversation, sit, stand, or kneel during the conversation, and why? And most people don't know the answer to that. And so that's not a legal issue, but rather a social justice issue. It's how do you get comfortable, feel good about what to say it, how to act, because what that does is it eliminates that fear factor. And if we eliminate the fear factor, a lot of the legal issues will go away. They'll be handled easily enough. And the other reason for the social justice training is that no matter what country we do this in, 99.9% of it is identical. Whereas when we talk about the legal, that will be different from country to country.
Boy, that's interesting. So tell us more about your background at MetLife. What did you do there? You were in sales?
No, I was in marketing, And I was a vice president of marketing, but I developed a division for them called MetDesk, which was MetLife's division of estate planning for special kids.
Did you say MetDesk?
MetDesk, D-E-S-K.
MetDesk,
division of estate planning for special kids.
Got it.
And what that was about was to educate families on the legal and financial issues as they pertain to planning for the future, and then understand how they can plan for quality of life in spite of some of the laws and issues that can interfere with that kind of planning.
I see. So does MetLife have a program of best practices in handling Americans with disabilities?
You know what? I couldn't comment on that. That would be I've not been with Met for quite some time, and I don't know what they do relative to EEOC and ADA kind of regulations.
Okay, good. Okay, so what does the competitive landscape look like? Are there companies that stand out as
employers?
There
are some companies that are doing amazing, amazing things today. Especially in this area of supporting, you know, employees who either have a disability or have a family member with a disability. An example, KPMG, which is, you know, a global firm, big four accounting firm, they have done tremendous work with everything from, you know, looking at how the organization is ready to bring people in and regularly support the folks that are already there who have disabilities. They've done tremendous work around resource and referral, around work life with employee resource groups. Truly, truly tremendous in the work that they have done. And there's many other companies in line with them. Adecco is a company that I certainly can mention. Cisco is another company. There's just so many of them today that are really leaders, if you will, not in everything, but in some segment that have really developed some best practices in one of these areas, at least.
Now, would you call this corporate social responsibility, or would
no,
you call it would you call it not CSR, but would you call it smart business, smart marketing?
You know, I'll tell you what I would call it, and I'm really taking this from someone else who said this recently, that what this is no longer a strategic advantage for a business, but rather a corporate business imperative. We have to do this. People with, you know, we have the aging population, so we're losing employees, we're losing good employees. Certainly employees that stay, you have age-related disabilities, so we need to be able to understand how to accommodate and deal. But we need to understand that the workforce that's coming in, we have a good percentage of them with disabilities. 11% of all college freshmen last year were students with disabilities. So we need to understand that we're going to start having candidates coming in with a range of disabilities, from cerebral palsy to autism and more, and we need to understand how to accommodate them, one. Understand that disability does not mean stupidity, does not mean lack of education or intelligence. And we desperately in corporate America need smart, multitasking, high-capability people. And that we need to look to this community to do that. And this is a community that is extremely hardworking, extremely loyal, and we need to understand that there's myths out there that are just that. They're myths. They're not facts. You know, there's myths about people with disabilities have higher rates of absenteeism. That's not true. Actually, the rates of absenteeism are lower than their mainstream counterparts. So there's all of these reasons to hire this wonderful community. I've written a book called Dive In, and it'll be out October 1st. And the whole idea of that is for corporate America to understand the potential, the profitability, the productivity of this workforce, and to understand that it's just a business imperative today.
So how do you think companies should market to this community? Any different?
Market in terms of as an employer of choice, if you will, for this community?
Well, I don't know. I'm going to leave that to you. You're a marketing
okay.
guru. But there's two ways, right? There's marketing a product and marketing a feeling.
Exactly. So if companies are looking to market themselves as employers of choice, they need to be ready to accept these individuals. And what I mean is they need to make sure that their organization has been disability etiquette and awareness trained so that they say and do the right things. If they're going to go on a recruiting initiative, they need to go to the places where they're going to get the right folks. A lot of companies have tried these initiatives and come frustrated saying, well, I meet people with disabilities, but they don't have the skill sets, education, or background I'm looking for. And that's because, like, you're not recruiting in the right place, and that could be with any market if you're not recruiting to the right segment. Some other things about readiness. You know, what does your emergency preparedness plan look like? Does it accommodate people with disabilities? Are you, if you're in the U.S., have you met the ADA accessibility guidelines for physical accessibility for the facility? What does your onboarding processes look like? Are your accommodation processes fair and equitable across the footprint of the company? You know, then you move into more of the work-life diversity pieces of, you know, do you have an employee resource group? If you have for other segments of your population, do you have one for this segment? How is it handled? Are you providing resources and information the same way you would to other segments of your employee population? And I think the last piece is that so many companies today have celebratory events for all kinds of celebrations, from, you know, Breast Cancer Awareness Month to a variety of others. Well, October is National Disability Awareness Month in the U.S. Many, many best practice companies have celebrations on behalf of that in the month of October. December 3rd is the International Day of Persons with Disabilities. So companies that are global are celebrating December 3rd across the globe. Some, you know, same day but in all different countries simultaneously having celebrations. In July, you have the celebration of the anniversary of the ADA in the U.S. So those are just some of those things that are really best practices that companies that are looking to be employer of choice are doing those things. When it comes to marketing, in terms of marketing your products and services to this segment of the population, it is not about having a commercial and making sure there's someone with in a wheelchair in the commercial. It's about really taking a step back and saying, I understand the needs and interests of this population relative to my product or service, and I'm going to market to them not in spite of, but because of, and show them that in a very authentic way that I want their business, that I understand that they have money, that they are loyal, and I want their business. And it's not a difficult thing to do, but so many companies, when they go out to market to the segment, don't take that approach and therefore are not successful.
We are talking with Nadine Vogel. We're going to take a quick break, and when we come back from the break, and after a brief announcement, I want to ask you again, not to dumb down this interview, but just to be very, very clear exactly what you mean by disability etiquette and how to learn more about that. And also I want you to readdress and recomment about a comment you just made about marketing products and services because of and not in spite of. So this is Ed Cohen, your host for Global People, Global Business, and we will return in 2 minutes.